he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Man, I am spent, man. What a huge, heavy squat workout I had this morning with Daisy.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about your week of lectures and things like that.
Well, we are going to talk about that. There's lots to talk about on this segment of SNU. He said, she said. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like squatting.
Well, I guess so, if you say so.
And I got to make an announcement. Daisy is pregnito.
Oh, wowzy. Now, and how far along is she now? She's like three and a...
I think this Thursday. She says every Thursday is another week, so it's 13 weeks.
Yeah,
and
so
we are going to be grandparents again.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh?
That's great. It's like gold and silver and riches and treasure, huh?
Yeah. And it's funny to see her go through all this, right? She's all worried about getting fat, and it's like, for
and she went to the medical profession and had a very negative experience, so that motivated her to go to a midwife now, and midwifery is legal in BC.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that is very, very cool, because she was born at home.
Yes. She was born in Maui at home. Yeah. With a midwife.
Yeah. We were talking about that last night.
Mm-hmm. All she needed to do was have a bad experience with the medical system, because she was really turned off midwifery. I'm not going to be doing that. And then she had this experience where she just felt like she was on assembly line. There was nothing personal. It was non-emotional.
They misdiagnosed her.
They misdiagnosed her. And then she said, that's it. I said, well, you're not going to be getting much better from anybody else. So
hung up on the dates and the timing, and they were wrong in their estimation. And because they couldn't detect the fetus, they said, well, you probably have a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And she felt terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
You know, that person that said that should be terminated from the profession.
I think we should look into that.
But this is standard. This is what happens all the time.
But then they said, well, this machine piece of equipment hasn't been working lately. So why would they even use it if it wasn't working? You know,
it's pathetic.
So I think we should really look into that and give this guy a run for his money, because he really upset her and Tim and us.
No
it
kidding.
And
meanwhile, the guy's
effect.
Probably doing what he's been doing.
Care.
And nobody is...
Nobody cares, you know?
...involved with keeping tabs on these kinds of people.
Exactly.
It's just madness. So
we'll keep you informed on that.
Absolutely. So what's cooking, my dear?
What's cooking is spaghetti squash, the new pasta. Squashes are also recognized as winter squash and summer squash, and it's based on harvesting time. Prepared spaghetti squash's noodle-like nature can be a great substitute for those searching for a low-carbohydrate alternative to grains and pasta. One cup of cooked spaghetti squash is about 150 grams, has only 44 calories, about 10 grams of carbohydrates, and a gram of protein, and virtually no
fat. I thought you didn't count calories.
I don't, but people like to know these things. Even when I do all my recipes, they like to know this kind of stuff. But
you know what I think? I think that...
No fat.
Calories are energy, and I understand that. But because they're not understood, and because we tend to utilize that reference incorrectly, and the whole society is doing it, I think we need to stop counting them measuring them. There's energy, right?
Okay.
We need to come up with a different name.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, we'll find an acronym for it. Just like we're finding an acronym for sports.
Let's make an acronym for calorie.
Well, we tried to do that.
Did we?
Yeah, we tried.
We'll just keep trying.
Give me something to do. Okay, so you want to compare this to whole wheat pasta, which is 39 grams of carbs per one cup serving. Pasta is about 400% higher in carbs than squash. So you can use the spaghetti squash just like you would pasta. And the secret behind the low calories of, there's that word again, of spaghetti squash has to do with the higher water content.
How many calories does water have?
Zip.
Yeah, duh.
Well, it depends on what you add to that water, though. Duh.
Well, then it's not the water. Then it's something in the water, like sugar, for example.
Whose thing is this? This is my thing. This is called What's Cooking Tracy.
It's called He Said, She Said.
Yes, it's
he
more like,
comes before the she.
Yeah, right.
And he is in the she, but she isn't in the he.
Okay, so spaghetti squash supplies carotenoids. It's got alkaline elements such as calcium, magnesium, potassium. And it's just absolutely yummy. So this is the pasta that Japanese women eat to stay thin. So just think about that. Use the spaghetti squash as you would pasta. So there are so many things that you can do with a spaghetti squash. You can just cut cut it in half and then scrape out the seeds and then put it on the cut side down into the oven about 350. It might take about 45 minutes to cook. You can add a little water to it. And once it's cooled down, after it's been cooked, you take it out of the oven. Once it's cooled down, then you can take a fork and just scrape the insides of it, and it comes out like noodle-like. And then you can add olive oil, or you could add butter, you could add balsamic vinegar, you can add some sea salt and pepper, you can add tomato sauce to it, you can add Parmesan cheese, you can add feta cheese. Just go wild and crazy with it. You know what I like to do after I've gone a big cardio day? I have spaghetti squash and I add homemade hummus on top of it. And I'm in heaven. It's really, really good. And boy, do I feel like I've really eaten, and I know everything I'm eating is really healthy because I made it myself.
Well, that's the key right there. Knowing, number one, it's healthy, and two, when you make it yourself, that's how you know if it's healthy. When you buy food at a restaurant or when you drive through or order it, you don't know what's gone into the food.
Yeah.
But you can assume that it's been fried and basted and salted and it's been stored for long periods, right? You just have to assume this thing.
Yeah.
People have lost the high art salt of connection
and
with
bad
food.
Oils. Oh, another thing that you can put on these spaghetti squash is, Corey, you like it with a little bit of butter and honey, or you could add maple syrup onto it.
That would be good.
Yeah, because we alternate those.
Well, that's how you got me into yams originally. Yeah. I just found them not really tasty, so I lathered them with your ghee and then mixed it with raw honey. And it's still delicious. Now, the thing is, here's another thing. The condiments that you add onto food, don't ruin the good food with a bunch of cruddy condiments, right?
Yeah.
Make sure the condiments are clean, too.
Make your own. That's right. So any way you eat spaghetti squash, it rocks. You know, just incorporate that in. And like, we have to have educate the palate, so maybe the kids might not like the flavor. Like, Corey didn't like the flavor right away. He had to add the honey and the butter like a little kid, and he really liked it.
Well, you don't even like dressing on your salad.
No,
I think that's weird.
Well, I don't. I like dressing if I make it myself.
Yeah.
But I don't like a lot of it. I don't even need, when we have a veggie dip, I make all the dips myself, but I don't even need, because the flavor of the vegetables comes out.
Yeah. If there was a third world war, like in the movie Mad Max, and there was no food and no industry and everything had been blown up, I suppose I would eat anything I could find. Wouldn't you, to survive?
Yep.
Like a Hostess Ding Dong or something? So I think people are actually eating today as if there was a third world war. They're eating such crap when all the good, beautiful food is available. They're not even eating that. Like, I would eat the junk if I had to, but I don't have to.
Right.
So that's kind of neat. I think I just thought of something, an idea. I'm going to explore that further.
For heaven's sake. Okay, so there you have it. And with Canadian Thanksgiving coming up and with American Thanksgiving coming up, get into having some squash, because this is the harvest time. There's lots of different kinds of squash. There's acorn squash. There's butternut squash. There's spaghetti squash. So start using squash instead of potatoes and pasta. And, you know, it's got a high water content and it's really healthy for you, too.
Yeah, and remember that the squash is still in its natural state, and that there is a connection between our genome and our DNA and the natural state of food, with all of the locks and keys and nutrients that are attached and associated with that food. It evolved over a long period of time, in fact, longer than humans. And so it had to survive. It had to adapt. It's in a state that represents the magnificence of creation and existence. And so when you design a compatible diet, what it is you have harmony in the relationship. And that's what I was asking the other night at that seminar. What kind of relationship do you have with food? Obviously, you have a good one with the spaghetti squash.
Oh, yeah. You better be careful.
You're going to give it up for me?
Maybe.
Or give me up for it?
Never.
Good, good, good. Okay, moving on. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Nancy Welker. Nancy was a wealth of knowledge. She talked about autism. She talked about skincare, exercise, and a healthy attitude. And Nancy specializes in skincare. However, she stresses the importance of beauty from the inside out. out, which she includes essential fatty acids, raw greens, filtered water, and whole foods. She says to be careful what you put on your skin as it will absorb into the bloodstream.
Well, no, that reminds me what the midwife said to Daisy regarding the application of essential oils.
Yeah.
And what I recommended to Daisy for stretch mark prevention, you know, and you nailed it on the head too. You said, Daisy, it happens from the inside first.
Right.
Selenium, zinc, essential fatty acids,
the oils,
flexibility, stretching, you know.
Yeah.
But still, I believe, and I've always known this, even with Dr. Arola, he taught me about Formula F, which was almond oil and avocado oil and vitamin E and vitamin A. And now we know about Udo's oil. These oils you can apply on the outside. And with Budwig in Germany, she was soaking people in flaxseed. Oh, they were literally soaking in it.
And it's also the massage. The massage brings the blood up to the surface. And just, you know, nurturing your skin and nurturing your body and taking time and relaxing and massaging with a really beautiful oil that has an aromatherapy. I mean, it's all in all, it's a wonderful thing to do for yourself. And especially when the midwife said it doesn't really matter about stretch marks. Like, my back went up on that one because you know what? You know how big I got when I got pregnant? I mean, you couldn't get any bigger than what I got.
Well, what is that stuff you put on your face when you look like Frankenstein's wife? You and Ruby? What is it?
It's a mask.
It's a mask, yeah. And I walk in and say, what scares the wits? My hair is up on end.
Really funny.
No, but it's good, though. That's an example of something that you apply to your face. What's the idea behind that, the mask?
Well, the mask, what it does is it can pull out a lot of the impurities of the skin, right? Like it can pull out blackheads. So you want to exfoliate. First, you want to cleanse it. Then we exfoliate. And then we mask. And then we massage. But we steam. But we do a whole little thing. And it's just taking time with yourself and looking after doing skincare, and it really does make your skin radiate. But you got to be careful what you put on your skin too. You want to.
Well,
make
it's not a magic pill or formula.
No.
So what you're saying is not just the oil; it's the action behind the oil and the intention and the desire.
Yes,
that ties in with it, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's the actual massage, and like I said, I used to have my oils specially made when I was pregnant to put on my skin.
That's right.
Yeah, with aromatherapy.
Right.
I think there was ylang ylang and lavender in it, and I can't remember all what's
I used to massage it onto you sometimes.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
When I was too lazy.
You know, and that brings the man into the pregnancy,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
The baby's growing, the little bubbles forming.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both believe that you can talk to the baby, and the baby hears things, and now the science is proving that out.
Yeah.
That how you act and conduct yourself in your relationship during the gestation period has an impact on birth itself and the baby.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, be careful what you put on your skin, and also do massage your skin. I mean, I know some women who have never had a facial, do not put anything on their skin at all, which is, you know, it's up to them, whatever you want to do. But I'll tell you, it looks like they haven't ever taken care of their skin. You take care of your skin like you brush your teeth, right? Or you wipe your behind.
That's my line.
Well, yeah. No, I figured that one out. That was my big line. You know, you got to take care of yourself, right? Skin, it starts from the outside in and also the inside out.
You know what? It's almost overwhelming when you start late in life. But when it's like a language you have to learn it when you're 38. It's really hard. But if you incorporated all these principles of health, by the time you got to be 18, it would just be common thought.
Yeah.
You know, you'd conduct yourself and think about health in such a way that it was just, and everyone else was doing,
just
so
like
it was common knowledge.
Just like you should go to the bathroom at least once a day. Twice is good. Three times is even better. And you should also brush your teeth at least once a day and floss your teeth once a day. So therefore, you have a facial once a week. You have a manicure. Do it yourself or go get it professionally done, and a pedicure once a week, once a month. I mean, you just take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
These are just,
but you do need
a exercise
routine.
3 to 5 times a week. You maybe do something, physical activity, play a sport, maybe once or twice or 4 times a month. Whatever it is you do, there's sort of a routine that you need to get on, that it becomes a habit and becomes normal in your life. And you eat 5 to 6 meals a day. I mean, that these are just things that you learn, right?
Well, when you do them, there's an outcome.
Yes,
and
it's all positive.
Using your brain and the science of inference and deduction, you can quantify and qualify and record and measure and evaluate. And so the feedback loop works in your head and you say to yourself, hey, that's giving me a positive outcome. And it's better than what I was doing, which is still something that you could do if you wanted. And if you did do that, then you realize you retract or you move away from good health or the positive experience. And so hopefully the experience of life of doing what we're teaching is making an impact.
Exactly.
So that was great that Nancy focused on the skin.
Yes, yes, that
we
was
really
great.
Haven't had a special guest with her expertise in beauty as also a knowledgeable person in organic natural foods.
And fitness.
Yes.
And health, you know, it's the whole gambit, right? So we really appreciate it. Thank you, Nancy Welker.
Absolutely. And who and what is going on with our CHI Highway to Health update?
Well, we have the CHI Highway to Health update. Is Thanksgiving's coming, and I am cooking a Thanksgiving dinner for the family on the Monday. Canadian Thanksgiving, that is. That's on this weekend coming up, which is October 9th, 10th, 11th. Our harvest was a little early up here in the Great White North, as to the Americans, which is in November.
Yeah, so I wonder with the concept of the great debate, who's right? Should it be sooner or later? And how did they come to be?
It just depends on when the harvest is, dear, because we're colder up here, so our harvest was earlier.
That's all it is, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so timing is everything, they say.
Timing is everything. So I'm going to really incorporate in this. I'm going to start. My appetizer is going to have pumpkin in it, and my dessert's going to have pumpkin in it. And I'm going to use squash all the way through my dinner. And I'm also going to have a lot of cranberries. I'm going to make my own cranberry sauce this year and, you know, add cranberries. So I'm really going to get into the actual harvest thing, which is really great because what happens is I say to everybody, what do you want me to cook? And they go, protein salad. And I'm going, come on, throw me a bone. And what do you want me to make? So
we're
going to
throw you the bone after we eat all the protein off of it.
Exactly.
And suck the marrow out.
Whatever. So anyways, Michael said when I made a big hummus and veggie plate last week, and he says, well, instead of making hummus, why don't you try making some baba ganoush? And I go, oh yeah, baba ganoush, baba ganoush. I love that word, baba ganoush. It's eggplant. And all you do is just add eggplant instead of chickpeas. It's exactly the same recipe. Mind you, you can add tomatoes, you can add cumin and turmeric, and there's all kinds of different things you can do, but it's pretty simple.
Well, what about the liver experience the other night?
Oh yeah, I bought some organic calf's liver. And I cook that up with butter and sage.
Isn't that your last meal if you were going to go down?
No, I don't know.
Would you choose liver and onions?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
What would you choose?
Probably lasagna with meatballs.
Oh, my gosh. So there's where your treasure is.
Meatballs. I love meatballs. Yeah, that would be my
I've
last
never
meal.
Known anyone that loves meatballs.
Yeah,
remember that place in Hawaii?
Yeah.
You knew that it's
meatballs
big, giant
meatballs.
Meatballs
were as big as soccer balls. That one made me, I was very happy.
That's got to be Sicilian / type O / predator / meat
Anyway,
consumer.
That's that. So next we did, on our Highway to Health, we did two lectures, the 7 Nutritional Lies of the 21st Century, and it was very successful. We did these lectures, the same lecture in two different locations.
Back to back.
Yeah, in two different locations. So that was quite thrilling.
We had a good turnout.
Yeah.
We worked with our education partner, InfoFit. The website is infofit.ca. They are excellent, you know, good people. And Andre is a great teacher. And they have a really good school, an academy for training and teaching personal trainers.
Yeah. They got it going on.
They got a system down. And so we are connected because we provide the nutrition science. And so we're getting a lot of new students from his school.
Mm-hmm.
And we created an education relationship where they can move into our full program.
And these personal trainers are really going to know their stuff because they've got the Andre. They've got that information from the fitness theory and how to train and put the personal in personal training. And then they've got you with the nutrition. So these guys are really hot to trot personal trainers coming out of InfoFit. Okay, then we've got our new Principles of Sports Nutrition teaching course.
Well, part of the intention behind these 7 nutritional lies was to create interest in this new course that I'm actually teaching myself. And we taught the course last night. We had about a dozen people sign up. Some of them were CSNA students and most of them were not. And what it is, it's a kind of a distillation. It's a prototype. It's a new course that obviously provides value to the students who attend, but it's in a classroom style. So you've got a live teacher in a classroom environment. That's different from distance learning when you're on your own in your home. Okay. But the real reason I put this thing together was once you become a CSNA master and you've got to finish all three of our certification programs, if you want to qualify to teach this, the sales and service course, the greatest vitamin salesperson in the world. And, you know, people think, what's that? I don't need that. Yes, you do. You need to know how to conduct yourself with human beings when you're dispensing information about health. That's really what that course is all about. It's how to talk to your son or your father or your next door neighbor about health and vitamins. It's the intention and the motive, and it's a strategy of thinking. Number two, of course, the CSNA, and then number three, the master's assignment. Now, once you get all three of those, then you have to apply for a CHI teaching certificate, which is an annual renewable fee. And now you are what we now call the CSNA Master Teacher.
Woohoo.
Isn't that cool?
It's really cool.
A CSNA Master Teacher.
We've been working on this for years. This isn't just something that just came up. I mean, this has been going on for ever.
Well, we work on everything for years. We don't just, you know, create things overnight.
Yeah, and it's a really nice program. Like, to see it all printed
off. Was it ever
off?
Smooth? It went so nice last night.
The beauty of this course is that there's in-class teaching, there's the audio of the SNU, and there's also a book that they have to read. So they're getting visual, audio, and classroom. It's really the best way to learn. And if they're not Corey Hollyized by the end of it, I don't know what.
Well, the idea now is that if you want to teach, and some people really want to teach, because teaching, like health, is its own reward. There is tremendous personal value in teaching and helping others. Now, if you really want to cement these concepts into your brain, then by reviewing them and studying them and then teaching them, that is ultimately the highest level of knowing. Now, with this course, I've got my CSNA master teachers now that will be growing up, you know, from the seed of their own initiative and motive. And so they'll be able to download all the course material, video clips, audio tutorials, the exams, the answer keys, the PowerPoints, everything that you need to teach this. So what did we need last night? We needed a room to teach it in, which we had. It was part of a gym.
Right.
A nice little conference room.
Very
perfect.
Nice. Yeah.
We had a screen, an LCD projector, and a laptop.
Yep.
So that's what the teacher needs. You need to have that. If you have a business already, imagine attracting 20, 30, 40 people to this 12-week course and then repeating it in a row. Like, you could teach this thing four times a year.
Or you could teach it every day of the week. Have 10 people in your class.
That's right. If you lived in a big city, you could have other teachers that work for you, or you could set it up yourself. You could teach it all around the city.
Yeah, exactly. That's just why you just once a day you work from whatever time you decide. It would be nice if you really had this going. You could do a morning, afternoon, and evening.
Right. Yes, and the student study program is downloaded from our bookstore, which we'll be putting up very soon, and the program will be ready for the CSNA masters to download. So there's a fee to that, and there's a fee. These are quite reasonable. Once you get the program, now you can teach it as many times as you like, but the students that you enroll, they have to download the study program, which is about 158 pages, and then they print that off and get it punched with a 3-ring hole puncher, and then they put it in a binder, and then they're ready to go.
Right, and so, the beauty about what we're doing right now with Corey teaching the first course is that we're working out the kinks. Doesn't seem to be too many kinks from yesterday, but you know, there's always something that comes up, because by the time it's going to be on the market with for our CSNA masters, it's going to be a really smooth project.
Yes, and then I'm going to provide tutorials to the teachers about everything that I've learned by teaching the program so that they can do just a smash-up job.
Great. Okay.
Awesome.
Just one more thing. I just wanted to talk about our CHI Highway to Health is that a friend of ours and also one of our CSNA students and education partners is Marianne DeVatine is turning 40. And
she's
but the beauty is she's got 10 days away for her photo shoot. She like wants to do a photo shoot for her 40th birthday, which I think is a fantastic idea for anybody to do this sort of thing. When you turn 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, just take a look at where you're at. And it really makes you be aware and conscious about your looks and what you're doing, and always to strive for a higher standard, raise the bar. So she's doing her 10 days away starting 2 days ago. I think she's doing kale and cod. And so we're going to be journaling that, because that's one of our books called 10 Days Away. So we're going to be using her as a case study. So we had some fun with that the other day, just doing
some. Well, she's hardcore. She sets her mind to something. Well, she went to Greece with me.
Yeah.
And competed in the Olympia.
Yeah, yeah. So she just wants to see how better she looks from a few years ago, 3 years ago, when she was 37 going to Greece. And now she's going to be 40. So she, every 5 years, I think she wants to do this. So it's really a good thing for everybody to do, men and women, you know, get out there. Whether you're a bodybuilder or whatever, it doesn't matter. You can get your pictures taken in all different kinds of clothing, you know. But she's going to do a bikini. She's going to do a really cool shot with just a piece of cloth around her. She's going to do some fitness gear, something in jeans, something in a business suit. So she can also use this for her marketing as well in her business. But, you know, great idea. Really great idea.
I get asked all the time, Corey, what would it take for me to compete in a competition? What does it take? And I say, you know what it takes? Your desire to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not win, lose, or draw.
No.
It's putting yourself under pressure, positive pressure, yeah, that Bill Phillips used to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you commit to something, it's going to challenge your resolve. Do you have what it takes to stay on track and do it? And are you willing to get up in front of an audience of people in your underwear,
yeah,
and pose naked, literally,
yeah. Yeah.
To some degree,
yeah,
and enjoy that experience?
Mm-hmm.
And some people love it. Mm-hmm. And for others, it's a take-home value, and they just add that to their experience of life. And especially if you're a coach or a teacher or a personal trainer, doing that helps you transfer that knowledge when other people are doing it too. You
exactly.
can teach them.
Exactly. Well, that's our CHI update.
And there you go. So everything is hunky-dory and wonderful. What is your final word?
My final word is by W.J. Cameron. Thanksgiving, after all, is a word of action.